There we go. It's okay. All right, I'm just recording now.
You the computer geek?
No. We figured the two of us together.
Yeah.
We have to change all that.
Make money on that.
Well, technically, if we go over the first part, the thing is that we're okay technically, except then staff violates the regulation.
How you doing, Doug? All right, yourself? Good. Oh, okay. No. Are you going to the Waterman show this weekend?
Wayne's going. I don't know whether I'll go or not. If you see, we probably would have like a 5,000
pound. Is that show this weekend at Ocean City?
Yeah,
the show is there. This is it.
I mean, the activities are cool.
The Maryland's taking on this 20% cut. They're going to let the new governor determine.
Yeah, no, they were overlapping.
Do that rather than this. Interesting article.
Okay.
You can keep that if you like it.
Well, if you got enough.
I won't give Rob enough.
Can I read that?
Yeah, I won't give Rob enough.
Is that for the National
Christian?
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but I get the magazine.
Yeah, I get the magazine. That's why I don't need the copy.
Let me tell you something about the National Fishermen. When they send you the renewal notice, throw it in the trash.
Is that right?
After about the third one, they're going to send you one for like $7.95.
Per year.
Per year.
Yeah.
Well, they send them long before they expire, don't they?
Well, they'll start sending them
to you. What else? They'll send them months to ahead of time.
Right.
At least.
Yeah. Just gotta start throwing them in the trash. And when you see that one, $10 a 100, that's the one you send in. And you keep on getting the magazine. They don't stop sending you the magazine. Do you get the Bay Journal?
Huh?
Do you get the Bay Journal?
I think so. It's quarterly or something, isn't it? Doesn't come out every...
I don't know. Is it? Whenever I get it, I get it. That's free. Don't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Ask for donations.
Yeah.
They'll put your name in the magazine if you give them a
give them enough.
I get promotion if I sit over here next to
you. That's fine by me.
Ernie might want to smack you.
Yeah, is that Ernie's seat?
How are you?
Good, how are you? Happy New Year. Well, I'm sure you're wonderful like that. Well, there's a lot of ice in there.
Okay.
There's two packets of the sea bass. Is anybody sitting here?
I imagine Ernie's going to want to sit there. But
okay, you want me to sit here then?
If you don't mind.
Okay. We don't need to step on anyone's feathers.
Yeah. And he does have some background experience.
Up this day, so that
might say. Yes. With this down art amendment stuff.
I know from.
What did you see your face? Were you climbing
mats,
a tree again?
No,
wrestling
mats.
I thought I told you the dangers.
That was a word, by the way. But
change the weather.
Wrestling mats are 3 grams.
Oh, okay.
I think I won, but they don't have any scars.
Oh. You're the only one with battle wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, see where they're treating the road. I was on the way down.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Cold?
I can't believe
it. No. What do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess that's
a quorum, isn't it?
8. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a show from
Doug can always sit in for somebody if we have to.
Okay.
Come learning.
Got your seat warm for you.
I'll see if he throws me out of my seat.
Hey, Skip, those wind turbines that Virginia Power is putting up, the clearance is going to be 89 feet to mean level. That's nowhere near anything on your boat, is it? Okay.
No, that's pretty good clearance.
Yeah.
I thought I had one, but I didn't.
Good.
Y'all finished?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Children getting their Russia thing straightened out? And the Russia, I mean, the launches?
Oh, wouldn't mind.
Oh, I thought someone in your family.
No. I don't know if Tom Powers' kids involved in that. Yeah. There was one son.
W9.
I do know, I mean, my.
Here, I'll fill it out.
You got a W-9.
Yeah.
That stuff was involved until we got pissed off with Russia and started calling each other names.
That's what we were talking about. I thought it was your child. It was your.
Okay.
And it was somebody in your family.
I took a new route today. I went 264 to 664, and even though I had to do a toll.
I heard the rockfish haven't come south of.
I got here in 45
minutes.
Yeah, Skip Hampton
was offshore.
Well, I looked over and I saw there was a backup 3.5 miles on 64. I was like, oh no.
I'm not getting to work.
So I took 264 to downtown Norfolk and then moved to Portsmouth and then took that toll. I mean, you have to pay a toll, but I don't care. It's better than sitting in traffic and being like, oh, I want to be at the meeting.
$2?
Something like that.
Yeah,
it was worth it, though. And not have to sit there and worry.
2 days to get them in, 10,000 times. And the last day, I set 3 rigs. My son was there. Had to load up another board.
Since you're amazing, you were quarters out of business. What are you doing nowadays?
Well, my husband and I own our own business. So I'm helping him with that. But I'm getting stuff done with my kids. And doing stuff at the house. Like, I did a project that I've been trying to do for 2 years. And I did it in 2 days, and I was like, why did I wait so long to do that?
You want me to hold on to this in case anybody else comes?
You want me to start?
A little bit now.
It don't get any better once you
got Lewis Gillingham. Going to be
I have two kids that both are in like gifted programs, so it's constant running one to one school and another to another school. Because they're like, my oldest is into art. She's in the ODC art program. She's actually at the academy now in Salem. And then my youngest is Bing. She's really good. And she's in the Virginia Children's Chorus. And they're actually going to tour this summer. I believe they may even go to Canada. But, I mean, all these extracurriculars, I'm like this.
And you got practices and blah, blah, blah.
But, and then I have to try to figure out time to fish. I haven't been since the 31st.
I quit about this.
I don't know why it would happen.
Second week in December, I quit. I mean, the talk fishing was terrible. Rock fishing was terrible.
Take a tag, use it for cable time.
Well, these pens are giving away, don't work.
How's it going? Good evening, good evening, good evening.
We're in that 47. And they throw the ball stuff on the side of the condition.
Good luck with it,
and they saw.
Ain't much to it, is it?
So they went ahead and waved and left.
That's so you won't steal it. It ain't no good.
Do you have an extra one? This is the one that was over there, and I think it's supposed to be green ink, but it's no ink.
The other one didn't work, neither?
Oh, I didn't try that one.
Check my papers. You know, my federal permit, but they did. They thought it was smoothed off for me for a minute. And he was a board officer, too. He was a young boy. He was about 9.
Okay, thank you.
He's probably 35, which is an old man in the Coast Guard.
Hmm.
I
thought I was cutting my net off. I was cutting my net off. I saw him like that.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
That's his pen, or?
Yeah, I brought one along today for a change.
Next, they'll start charging you for using the water fountain.
They're down for coaching.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Said they come up there with a straight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess we're at the time. We'll go ahead and get started, if we may. First business item is everybody go over the minutes from the last meeting. Any objections to the minutes? Corrections?
Moved to be approved.
Motion, second to the motion to accept. Okay, got a second. Minutes are approved, so we're ready to go.
Allow me, if you would, to give a few encouraging words about the agenda and some reminders. When we met previously, we set aside January as speckled trout night, if you remember. That was the main idea that we talked about, that we'd look back at speckled trout night. And it still will be, for the most part. We have some other things that are important that cropped up. And one is the striped bass, which most of you are interested in, I think, very much. So you get a little report as to last time we left off, you had different options for the coastal waters for recreational. We know how the commercial situation ends up. I think you knew before, but Joe will present that anyway. We also have in old business spiny dogfish. And if you remember last meeting, I think the idea was I said we would look at the criteria that got us from 107 down to where we are now. And Joe Cimino will go through that so you can see it. I don't think there's any hurry-up offense here for this, but I think it's good to refresh everyone's mind as to what's going on. Scott McDonald couldn't be here. Chris, you're his proxy tonight. And I did talk to Scott at length. Things are improving out there in the dogfish fishery, which is good to hear and should improve a little bit more. He really had a lot of good information. One piece of information is that apparently by March 1, the European Union will announce that they are liberalizing the standards for PCB. Liberalizing meaning that they're not making it so strict compared to FDA. They're going to come closer to that. So that'll help out. Something interesting that Scott told me that I didn't know was going on, but what they've had to do in some cases with spiny dogfish is to ship it into Amsterdam, essentially, get it repacked, and then get it distributed. So, of course, there's costs there. Scott expects, you know, this is Scott talking, not me, but Scott expects that the quota that we have, which is around 5 million and a little bit coming up next time around, pounds, that we're going to start to come closer to that than we have before. And, you know, things picked up in 2014. Ernie probably has some information on that. So, again, we don't have a cure for spiny dogfish and everything we've done. If you remember spiny dogfish from before the industry committee was constituted and met several times, the information back then was really this was a fishery for about, depending on who you talk to, 30 to 40 people, depending on who you talk to. So we know we're over capacity, overcapitalized, however you want to think about it. But there certainly are some plans to go forward where maybe you don't have to diminish the idea of getting a dedicated limited entry program. You could still have contingencies that, you know, people could do some fishing. But right now it's still at overcapacity. We're going to have some new business tonight. And the chairman requested that blue line tilefish be on the agenda. The background there is at the last Mid-Atlantic Council meeting where Jeff and I attended, it was pretty evident that some of the thoughts on conservation didn't extend beyond Virginia and Maryland. Virginia and Maryland placed a relatively non-directed amount of harvest for the commercial fishery, relatively good, solid, conservative bag limits, possession limits for the recreational fishery. Boats going up off Jersey and other areas, and when you look at the landings like Jeff and I did, all of a sudden 2013 goes whoop. I think it was 220,000 pounds, somewhere around in there. A lot of consternation at the Mid-Atlantic Council. Mid-Atlantic Council voted to send a request to the states to establish measures that are as conservative as Virginia and Maryland to get after these possession limits. This isn't over yet. It's going to keep going. I don't know which direction. Former commission member and current chair of the Mid-Atlantic Council, Rick Robbins, is working on this very diligently and trying to work it out with the South Atlantic Council, because the South Atlantic Council has the authority over these species, not the Mid-Atlantic Council. The Mid-Atlantic Council has golden tilefish. So it's the South Atlantic Council that, you know, we were worried about back in 2007 or so, that they were going to sort of preempt our fishery altogether. Things were worked out so that that didn't happen. So a lot of you aren't going out to fish for blue line tilefish and grouper. You understand that, but some of you are. And this has become, you know, a pretty nice adventure, both for recreational and commercial, as well as economic incentives. So Joe Grist has information on that to help out. However, Jeff wants to lead the information search on that. And the other thing is that we do have an issue on recreational gillnet issues. There's a gentleman named Wayne Lumsden. I'm pretty sure he's a CCA in the northern areas up in the Potomac Tribs, so I don't know how that works, which particular group he's with. He has been very interested in the past about yellow perch and had a lot of questions about yellow perch management. He has great concerns about that. He's a recreational fisherman. He has concerns now about recreational gillnets, and, you know, does there need to be more management of recreational gillnets? And we'll present that to you with his email that he sent in. He could not make the trip tonight. I think he said it'd be about a 6.5 hour jaunt to get back and forth, so we understand that. I think the real question that I have for this is, want to air his information and then hope the committee will decide if there's a next step or, you know, how to treat this, because, you know, he's taken a lot of trouble to research a lot of different aspects. So there's sort of the events of the evening, and, you know, I'm sure that everyone's anxious to get home. You know, depending on where you live, you might be more anxious than others, but we're in there for a little weather, maybe. So thank you, and we'll just go forward with the next item.
Appreciate it. I guess a special trial.
The first item on the agenda is management background. There isn't a whole lot, but some of this has been in place for a considerable amount of time. We've had a 14-inch minimum size limit for both fisheries in place since 1992. The recreational fishery has had a creel limit, as well as the commercial hook and line fishery, another 10-fish possession limit since that time. In 1995, a commercial quota was established. That quota was based on the previous 2 years plus a percentage. The previous 2 years were actually the first 2 years where commercial harvest was reported through our mandatory reporting program. And I'll show you a graph later on. You can see kind of where the fishery was at that time in 95. In 2011, and some of you will remember because you were probably on this committee, there was a discussion about really the hot ditch fishery and this world-class fishery that had developed here in the winter and trying to protect those fish. So there was a recreational creel limit established of five fish. Initially, there was even some discussion about trying to just limit this to a particular area. That seemed to be a difficult regulation to write. So instead, the compromise was to just have it as a time of year. So the five fish limit was put in place from December 1 through March 31st, and only one of those fish that could that would be capped could be greater than 24 inches. And as a follow-up to that, in April of this year, or excuse me, this past year now, that five fish possession limit was put in place year-round, and again with the stipulation that only one of those fish could be 24 inches or greater. And that's for all hand line or commercial hook and line or recreational. At that same time, they established a trigger for the commercial fishery. Once the quota is projected to have reached 80%, then the fishery goes down to a 100-pound bycatch limit, and they have to have at least 100 pounds of other finfish on board. That covers the complete management history for the species. The next item on the agenda is the assessment that's being conducted out of North Carolina, which includes the Virginia portion of what they're assuming is one shared stock. I don't have any slides because there isn't an approved assessment yet. The timing of this worked out such that they're in the process of going through the peer review. I can tell you a few things about where they are right now. Things look quite different than they did in the last assessment. They have a lot more data available to them. For the first time for speckled trout, they were able to pull together some fisheries independent data, which has really kind of changed the outlook for the status and for the better. So assuming this assessment is approved for management measures, the time period that they're looking at for the assessment goes back to 1994, and it'll show that the stock for the two states has never experienced or has never been overfished and hasn't experienced overfishing since for the past decade. One other thing that they have tried to incorporate into this model is the winter kills. They used a lot of information from a thesis done out of NC State. A guy by the name of Tim Ellis there has done tagging studies to estimate mortality estimates for the past several years and tie those into different winter mortality estimates and annual mortality estimates. He then tied that into the temperatures for the past decade. Two decades, and that's what got the assessment back to 1994, and that's where they started the time period for the assessment model. It certainly appears, you know, again, this is all preliminary, but it certainly appears that these winter kills can have an impact on the stock, but it seems like they also are able to rebound pretty quick for those, you know, just looking at two decades worth of data. So we'll know fairly soon where that ends up. By the end of this month, the review panel is going to look over the model. Should have their final report to North Carolina so that their commission can vote on it for management decisions. They're planning on presenting that in February.
Who is the review panel? Is it just a select number of volunteers or?
Well, they've put out, yeah, essentially, yes. They put out invitations for the review from I believe they have someone from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, and I'm not sure who else has finally agreed to be on the panel, but I know they had a pretty solid list of people that know the species well that they invited to, you know, to participate, which is really the same process that ASMFC goes through for their, what they'll call an internal peer review, which is where they're seeking people to sit on the panel, as opposed to some of the ASMFC stuff goes through the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. We don't have a lot to update you on for the landings. Recreational stuff is still preliminary. The way the speckled trout commercial quota runs, you've already seen the most recent update for the 2013-2014 season. But I did put together a slide that includes the recreational and commercial landings by season. So what I did for the recreational fishery was take the MRIP wave estimates and put them into that September through August time frame. And so again, the commercial landings here is something that you've seen already for that season. They hit their 80% trigger for the first time as it was in place, and let me see if I can get the final number here.
While you're looking that up, Rob, did you have something you wanted to add to this?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood the implications of the stock assessment, that it has more of the Virginia flavor to it than before, and so even though it's a North Carolina assessment, it definitely has in there. So that's one thing. And then I'll take a moment before Joe goes on just to say we do have some updates from Suzanne Music on the tagging program. And I think Lewis has an update of his projection that he provided several months ago. So I have a little more information. I haven't had a chance to really talk to Joe Cimino right before I came on. So.
If this passes peer review, will it get the blessing of the ASMFC? Will they accept that as sound science? Or?
ASMFC, to what I know, hasn't really moved beyond the original 1981 assessment, which takes multi-state. In other words, treats like a footmore, like a footmore situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think that is the intent. I think you would still call this regional management. You know, the ASMFC certainly would in this information if they included it in their assessment. I mean, that's what I would think. I mean, really, when the first assessment was done, it was Linda Mercer from North Carolina who did both meat fish and speckled trout. And the ASMFC glommed on to that information, and then that became part of what they did with the assessment. So, hard to say. You have an idea on that?
Well, it's the board made a decision on.
Yeah, ASMFC South Point Board's tracking this with some dates from North Carolina specifically, but it hasn't been an agenda item. The staff itself, the ASMFC, is not involved. We're tracking any of this. We have no pending amendments, anything involving speckled trout coming up. This is solely a Carolina assessment. We're involved. It's regional. It's within. It's not ASMFC.
You know ASMFC is involved. Decide what your back limit is, right, since everything else is going to be as you're familiar with other species, and that, you know, that's not any time in the near future. You know.
Right. My gut feeling is that a lot of the southern, well, really South Carolina through Florida would argue that they have resident populations, and they would fight for conservation equivalency, or they would fight to be able to manage their own fisheries, assuming, you know, the stocks are discrete.
Okay. Thank you.
And we are in a unique situation in that sense that you know, we know for certain that there's quite a bit of mixing between North Carolina and Virginia. If not genetics, which Tim will have a chance to show, we do know at the very least that the harvest is taking place on the same fish in the state.
Okay.
So the commercial fishery for the 2013-2014 season remained under quota, but for the first time with that trigger in place, did hit the trigger, and so was put into that bycatch mode. And actually, I'm kind of the way I've set these up, I'm moving to the recreational fishery here. So, I've done this in number of fish now, so everything else we've looked at was in pounds of fish, but I wanted to include what Emmer calls the released alive estimates, or the number of fish through the interview process that they've estimated as being released and not brought back to the docks. You could see 2014 there for the released alive, kind of falling in with some of the other years. The total harvest, of course, for 2014, looking very low, but there's two big caveats there. This is back to the 2014 calendar year. So you had three things going on with the recreational estimates. One, there's no harvest estimate for January and February. Two, the season was closed from March through all of July. Three, for this particular estimate for 2014, there's no wave six. So there's no November, December estimate yet. So really all you're looking at is what they estimated was caught landed from August through October. Let's look at the wave data there. So you can see that 2014 estimate, as I said, it's 1.5 waves so far. But the wave five estimate isn't really that far off from the last couple of years. It's about 40,000 pounds here. I apologize. I'm switching between pounds and number of fish. But 40,000 pounds, pretty close to the 2013 estimate for that one wave. So we'll see where November, December comes in. But there is, you know, if that is also close to the last 2 years, we're looking at a fishery that even with that extensive closure of March through July, and no January, February estimate, maybe over 100,000 pounds again for the fish.
And half the bag limit. Don't forget that. The bag limit was cut.
Well, and there's a bag limit in place. Yeah.
The bag limit change, cut in half.
Well, not for this, right, not for all of this. Wave 6 already had, you know, December already had the five fish. But, yes, for September through November, for August through November, that was the first time that this fishery had the five fish bag limit in for it.
Joe, in addition to, you know, my impression that the overall speckled trout recreational fishery was not so good this past year, the early part of the season in the Elizabeth River fishery anyway, there was a large number of very small speckled trout, 12, 13, 14 inch, and we didn't really see many of the larger fish, you know, come in till December, you know, late November, December. And I just wondered if, you know, in addition to tracking the number, if there's anything that tracks the size range.
Yeah, for both fisheries. The commercial fishery was well sampled this year. I was really surprised at the number of fish in the fall of this year, over 10 pounds. You know, we had some fish over 15 pounds. The overall commercial average weight for the overall commercial fishery was on par with some of the other years. So, And as Rob mentioned, you know, we have two other bits of information here that'll help put together some of that for the recreational fishery. One I can show, which is what Lewis has updated for us, which is the citation, you know, the number of citations, and that's a 5-pound minimum for a kill weight and a 24-inch release. And I wrote it down, Lou, but let's see, it was 50% came after the...
Once the season, in the first quarter of the season, up until the conditions closed, which is March 1, roughly 25% of the total number of citations had been registered. After it closed, until it opened again in August 1st, roughly 25% of the citations were registered at that time period, realizing you couldn't keep the fish, but they were still eligible for release citations. And then in the from August 1 through the end of August, and that number's actually gone up 5 because I've gotten that many before since I told you it would. It was about 52% of the total. It was roughly a quarter, and 50%. So since the season reopened, and we had releases during the whole period, but now we added kills to it, there was roughly 50% of the citation.
So in the second best year for citations, as I said, you know, 3/4 of that came after the winter kill. Half of it came since the season's been open again. There's actually 1/4 of those releases came in even while the fishery was closed. And then, you know, the other component of this size range stuff would be the tagging data where folks that are releasing the fish are handling fish that are even below the size limit. So once Susanna has a chance to present that, we might get a little more information on that. But from what I was hearing from both commercial and recreational guys, where there were quite a few small fish out there again, even in the fall of this year. So that goes through that. And then I think that would move us into part of the discussion that occurred at the last FMAC meeting, and that would be regarding the trigger for the quota. So I don't know. It might be better with Jack's question to stay with the recreational fishery and let Susanna present now, and then we could come back to a discussion on the trigger.
Down to my level. Can everybody hear me? I'm Susanna Music. I work at VIMS as part of the Marine Advisory Program. I'm the PI for the Virginia Game Fish Tagging Program, and I'm lucky enough to work with Lewis and Ann here at the VMRC. And I'm basically going to give you an update that finishes out last year's data for speckled trout. So I'll go through, you'll see some repeats and slides that I showed you back in October, but just stop me at any time if you have questions. So looking at this slide, this shows us the percentage of the top 10 tagging sites. So it's not overall tagging locations, but this is just a graph of the top 10 and the percentages that they make up. And there's not a huge amount of difference between the historical data that you see on the right and last year's data in terms of habitat selection. Mm-hmm. Again, most of our tagging effort is taking place in the Elizabeth River, which is probably not a huge surprise for you guys. We had our top tagging site in 2014 was the Elizabeth River Hot Ditch with 780 fish, and this was followed by two other Elizabeth River locations. And again, this is similar to previous years. You asked about size frequency data. This is our historical data, and this is showing that from 1995 to 2010, we had pink effort at the 12-inch size class, so we had over 2,500 specs that were tagged there. Last year, there wasn't a huge difference. It was around 11 inches for peak effort with 615 fish tagged there. And I hear whispering back here, so I'll tell you the tag range was pretty similar too. So historically, our range was, let's see, 4.5. I doubt that one, but up to about 31 inches. And last year it was 6 to 34. So pretty similar size range for tagging effort too. In terms of the percentage of juveniles that made up our tagging effort, it was a perfectly average year. Overall tagging effort for juveniles is about 30% of the makeup, and the same thing happened last year. It was blue, so we had over 1,600 fish that were tagged that were 11 inches or less. If we look at month, tagging effort by month, from 1995 to 2013, our historical data show a peak in the fall, which really gets high in October. So this is a cumulative average, and we had over 18,000 fish tagged for the program in October. And not a huge surprise, but we saw similar effort. It was a little lower in the summer, but that's probably indicative of the fishery being closed then. And overall, our total tagging numbers for speckled trout was 5,531. So to me, this isn't a drastic change. It's a pretty good tagging year historically. The next lowest year was back in 2009. So it's been pretty healthy tagging effort since 2010. And of course, you're seeing that banner Young of the Year class back in 2011 with over 12,000 speckled trout that were tagged. And you saw that echoed in the fishery landing data too, and probably, well, not in the citation program perhaps, but it was just an exceptional year for the tagging program. And that's it. All these, you can find the annual reports here, or if you have questions, you can email me directly. Any other questions or any other slides you guys want me to go back to?
They tagged a lot of fish in the 11 to 12 inch range. They're not targeting that range of fish with bait size or anything else. It just seems to be what they caught the most of at those times. Or
let's go back. So overall, I'd say that's just what they encountered. I don't think anybody's targeting the juvenile fish. They're just taking advantage of, if they're going to release it, they'll go ahead and stick a tag in it. And most of our tagging effort takes place in Elizabeth River, so we get a good mix of juveniles and adults there, too.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Yeah. Did you have a question? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more bit of information. The commercial fish on the commercial fishery. We're in the middle of the 2014-2015 season, and on November 17th, we hit the 80% trigger for that fishery. So since then, they've been again in that bycatch mode of 100-pound triplinet with at least an equal amount of other species on board. And since November 17th, that number has moved up to about 83% of the quota. Above that, in this slide, as I mentioned, at the last FMAC meeting, there was a discussion about perhaps moving that trigger. And so I have a couple of different scenarios here. And given the size of that quota, I really, from staff's perspective, would say that really can't move below that 10,000 pound with, you know, that remainder of that quota. Even at 7,000 pounds, you could potentially be talking about a single trip. You can certainly have, you know, as it is, there are days during the open season for haul seine where it is possible to have 10,000 pounds landed in a day. It's not necessarily the most, you know, a common event. But at 5,000 pounds, with just 5,000 pounds a quota remaining, there is the potential that by the time the notice was put out, that we could already be past that number. So I just wanted to put these numbers out there and just give you an idea of what that is, you know. But certainly during the open season, those types of trips are occurring. And even with the weekly reporting we have, even with daily reporting, numbers that low would be very difficult for staff to be able to handle that.
Does staff think 10,000 is adequate to keep from moving?
Well, with the 2 years that we have, it certainly is. Yeah, I mean, we have had information coming in after the fact. This is actually the first season we have with the mandatory, with the mandatory buyer reporting, and it looks like from, you know, our checks and balances from what the harvesters are sending in to what the buyers had reported first, we're getting really good cooperation from the buyers. They're sending in their report. It's a lot of the same buyers that are doing the volume for this fishery that are already doing these buyer reports for striped bass and even fine dogfish.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to, I think it was Scott that brought it, either Scott or Chris. I don't know that it's necessarily the trigger amount as to the 100-pound catch, because if I heard them right, once the trigger amount gets hit, it's impossible to catch the extra 20% at a 100-pound trip limit. So if you raise the trip limit, basically they just want to utilize that last 20%.
Yes.
So if you up the trip limit, not necessarily change the trigger amount, but once you get to that 80%, go to like a 300 or whatever, you know, they would know that.
Sure.
Just to utilize that last 20%, because at 100 pounds, you're never going to, you'll never catch that 20%.
But is this, are we talking about the commercial now? Are we going to,
Yeah,
right.
Please.
Yeah, and Captain Feller's right. That's one of the concerns. There's a number of concerns here. First off, they're not only reporting, they're calling in daily. It's my understanding they have to call in daily, okay, once they hit, even before, in the fall. Okay,
right.
During the fall
fishery. For that period, they're reporting, the buyers are reporting their weekly purchases.
Okay,
yeah.
So weekly, all right. The other point to be made here is, you know, he's right, the 100 pound, if we went to 200 pound, but by the terminology, we had three or four meetings, I attended all of them. The one meeting that I missed, where a lot of this was put into place, we brought in the language of bycatch, okay? Bycatch, let me give you a scenario, okay? I'm going after the 100 pounds, okay? I'm going after 100 pounds of speckled trout, I'm also going after roundhead or mullet, striped mullet. Okay, those three species overlap. They're in the same area. First two sets of my net, I catch the speckled trout first. Okay, I'm not going to throw those 100 pounds back. It's too valuable to me. It's too valuable to these fishermen who need the money. We're going to keep fishing until we have to match that. At the end of the day, if it's completely dark and we haven't matched it, what are we going to do with those speckled trout? Okay, they're going to go overboard. I know what a lot of these tools are designed to keep people from targeting, whatever you want to call it. But I can tell you that a bycatch is something we never agreed to. It's language that was never in there in three or four meetings, and then all of a sudden it found its way in at the last meeting. And bycatch is itself, by definition, not a great word. We don't want to have bycatch. If I caught the 100 pounds of speckled trout at $2 a pound, I may just quit fishing. Okay? That would be better for the resource. It would be better for speckled trout. It would be better for these other species. By giving us a bycatch, by using that term and not a trip limit, you're forcing me to keep fishing, okay, to not be wasteful. Then you factor in as well, these people are hard-pressed right now to make a living. Okay? We're the croaker, you know, numbers are stable, but they're not what they were. We float in and out of fisheries. It has to be fluid as we move in and out of fisheries. Right now, we have a somewhat healthy fishery in speckled trout. To move into the 200-pound trip limit and do away with the word bycatch would enable us to capitalize, what is it, 17% we have left for this year. Okay, so that's what we're looking for. I think it's fair. I think it's fair to the resource that we eliminate that language, bycatch versus trip limit, and you know go to the 200. Okay, especially if you choose to leave it at 80%. I'm going to say in my last point, and this will be my last point, that would it be so bad? Would it be so bad if we went 10% over or even 20% over when you consider the recreational sector catches 300,000 pounds a year? If we went 10% or 20% over with weekly call-ins, I find it difficult that it would go more than that. I agree with you. The trips can be somewhat robust, as staff likes to use the term, could be a 5 or 10,000 pound set. Okay? It could be a 5 or 10,000 pound set. But if we went over 10% or 20%, would that be the end of the world when you compare it to what the recreational sector is? And so I'll leave it at that with those notes. And I have no problem speaking on behalf of Mr. McDonald because everything I've just said we've talked about. And he even agreed at the last meeting that I was absent, he was not prepared or familiar with the bycatch versus trip limit and the ramifications that would have.
Yeah, so if I may, Mr. Chair, just briefly, because as Skip pointed out, that was also brought up. They were two separate issues. There was one question about changing the percentage for the trigger, so I just put those numbers up here. And the other discussion that happened, and it's in the minutes, is that Scott McDonald brought up was removing the bycatch provision and asking for just a 100-pound trip limit when the fishery hits the 80%. And Tom Powers was here at the time, and in the minutes he supports removing the bycatch. It was initially, if you go back to when this motion was made, it was those two within a discussion that put bycatch in. So I believe at the last meeting both were saying, to consider at this meeting, it said at the next meeting to consider removing bycatch and just having it as a 100-pound trip.
If we did that, would we get the rest of the quota caught before the end of the season? Is that, I mean, if we just did away with bycatch by itself, took that word out, and kept the 100-pound trip limit, would we get to?
I don't think so.
Well, okay. I think what Chris is explaining is that one thing that it does is if the speckled trout are already on board, it prevents them from having to be thrown over because if you've estimated you've only caught 50 pounds of croaker or or mullet, that then you can only keep 50 pounds and half of that weak fish speckled trout catch would have to go back. But.
Well, I personally don't have any problem with doing away with the word bycatch, but I want to make sure that we don't go over, but we use the whole thing. So if 10,000 pounds can be a single landing and we only get...
When I'm suggesting that, I am speaking specifically to the open season by halting. We see some very large halting trips. We do not see, very large gillnet trips. If we look at the past, this is a halting-directed fishery.
Okay.
There's harvest from gillnet, and really that's it,
Should it make a difference whether they're caught by halting or gillnet? As far as
your question is, I mean, to that end, what I'm saying is, would a haltinger even be out attempting, to catch speckled trout when they're in the 100, once they're in bycatch mode.
That's provided we get to the 100-pound limit at that point, by that point. But what I'm saying is that at 80,000, at 80%, we could wipe out whatever's left commercially with one landing and not know about it till the end of the week. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Yes. So if we made it, Chris, if we made it 75% and a 300-pound limit after that, would that be a better way to use up what's left without risking going over?
I think you should leave the 80% and just 200. I think that would be, you know, a start. That would be a start. I don't think you should fall back on your trigger.
At 80%, we could have finished the work. We could have finished the season before we ever got to the.
That's been done. They shut us down for a whole year because of
some data we have. There are two things I do want to comment. I'm okay on the bycatch, lifting the bycatch. We've already discussed that several times. I would be wary to jump right to 200, right to, you know, give it a try at 100, see how we do. Of Chris's comments, I would rather see an attempt to raise the quota. No one's promoting that right now, but 10%, rather than just have a system where we are starting off saying let's get 10% more and not worry about it because the recreational fishery is variable and everything else. And that's the one point that I can't go with anything like that. The periodicity or the timing of when the harvest is taken is something we can look at. We have information on that. So right now, you start up September 1, you roll all the way through August 31. The hall's saying the major part of it's going to close in the fall. So you have to keep that in mind if you're going to start saying, well, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds. I mean, they're all shots in the dark right now, but 100 pounds at least is where the staff would start. Where we start. We said, okay, bycatch is not such a great idea. Chris has very good information about what that does to a fishery. I agree with that. But to jump off to 200, I'm not sure. Now, involved with the 10% or even 20% more than the, it's not a biological quota, everyone knows that, but this quota, and it's stood for a long time. If you look at the data, and look at the harvest over time since 1995, a lot of quotas would be set on either the whole time series or on the last 5 years. And I think what you find out is quotas. So you have to keep in mind all the information that you have at your disposal before you're ready, is my recommendation. Staff's perfectly willing to remove the bycatch provision. We'd like to start at 100 pounds, and that really would be, to me, a sensible way to go, because perhaps we would have a little more activity than we've seen so far once we get rid of the bycatch.
Okay.
I just think that that's at least a staff position. You can have your own position, there's no doubt about it, and you know, all that can be worked out through public care.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you guys hear me? My been coughing a lot, so I don't know if you can hear me very well. I didn't bring this up before because I wasn't real sure, you know, where the commercials were going to go with this. But if everyone is considering a 10% increase, or even 20% increase, I ask that you please also consider recreational anglers. I've talked to various clubs. And unanimous votes, 40 people in the room, 40 people are for, 7 fish and 2. And I know we're talking about commercial, but it's real hard for recreationals to get in there until we hear what the commercials are wanting to come back and say, you know, can you do this for us as well? So we're looking at, you know, the 7 fish, keeping the 7 fish, 2 of which would be allowed to be 24 inches or over. Maybe just plug that in where we used to have the 10 fish. Because I know that there was a lot of work done to keep that 5 fish in that parameter for the breeding purposes. So I just kind of want to throw that out there, you know, because we're in this together. It is a recreational fishery, but it's also a commercial fishery, and recs want to work with the commercials. So if there's any way we can include that to balance that out, we all know about the 10 fish going to 5 fish. I don't need to get into that. You know, that was done for the health of the fishery. Now we see that the health of the fishery is coming out. I have various people that fish 4 and 5 days a week recreational. They're saying that they're catching a lot of big fish. This has been going on the last couple of months. I know that we're still waiting for the data for November and December, as we discussed. But as a recreational fisherman, I personally went out on one day. My friend and I caught 11 cetacean trout. We caught well over 50 trout that day, one trip. I know not every trip is like that, but there are big fish out there. I am seeing some big fish, and I'm about done with that, whole conversation, because we already addressed that with Susanna when she went up there and talked about the tagging. I did not have my tags with me that day. I could have kicked myself because I thought my friend had them, because we usually use his tags. He was all out. But, man, that would have been incredible, you know, data for this research. So,
Mr. Chair, if I may, I don't have any slides to move to as far as considerations for the recreational fisheries, simply because that data isn't available yet. But that certainly was part of the discussion last month to move forward as well. And, it seems too early to tell how the fishery is performed according to MRIP's wave estimates, if for what you can put into that. But we do have one wave estimate. As I said, it seems, you know, that it was more or less on par with the previous year. We'll see where wave six goes. But unfortunately, we don't really have anything else to speak to the performance of the recreational fishery as far as considering that movement. What Rob said about the commercial quota not being a biological quota, I guess you can say that the same is true for the recreational fishery. There's no target that they're looking to achieve. This isn't like summer flounder or striped bass, where we have targets for both fisheries that we're trying to stay within. So that's all I can say as far as presenting to that.
Okay. Well, in your opinion, is the stock healthy enough for us to increase 10 or 20% commercially and 7 fish recreationally?
From what I've seen from North Carolina's assessment, if that assessment is approved for management measures, you know, it's going to say that in the 20-year time frame, that fishing mortality has never been an issue. As far as it's not only never exceeded the threshold, it's always been within the target range that they're talking about biologically. So.
Yeah, assuming that's approved, and it's not approved yet. So would it be premature to make substantial increases, or are we comfortable?
Well, what you have to do is, the way I would look at this, put the slide up of the performance of the fisheries since 1995, commercial fisheries since 1995.
So since the quota was, the red line up above is the quota. This is, again, by season, so that's the performance of it.
So you're looking at a lot of variability, but you're also looking at what some would say is a reasonable quote. On the other hand, it was in quite a while, almost 20 years, since that process was undertaken to set that quota. It was an agreement quota. We don't know whether a couple things could happen. One, we don't know how long the wholesale activity is going to be what it was. We know the wholesale. The other part is there may have been higher harvest had the quota been a little bit higher on commercial fishing. So, you know, it's very difficult to use this information because you have 1 year where really the quota wasn't adequate. But if you think about it, the last 2 years show that there is an increase in harvest. So, does anyone want to see a situation where we go back to
2 years. And there must be a reason that people are picking at the quota, and I think the last 2 years tells you why. There's opportunity there.
Well,
broker's not what it was. You know, you have to consider all that. On the recreational end, if I may, that idea of the seven fish goes back to October. That brought up then the 224. I don't know what the quid pro quo is there, the trade-off in recreational and commercial. I think there's a separation in management and in the data and everything else. I mean, it's like night and day. But it was 10 fish. So it's not as if you're saying, you know, please let us go from 5 to 7, and the commercial fishery, if the commercial fishery wants to go up by 10% or whatever the amount's going to be. I don't think that there's any kind of relationship there at all. I think it's that, I think it's more of what you said later on, that there were problems, whether there were biological problems or not. Constituency of the recreational community said, we want to shut things down for a little while, and the commission said, okay. So, you know, I don't think you have two similar situations. I think you ought to treat them as a commercial fishery, and no one's even really said it directly, except Chris has talked about it. Should the commercial fishery undergo a process where the quota is changed? I prefer that over let's not worry about adhering to this quota to the left. It's 10% over, as long as we're reporting, that will be a big problem. I mean that just because that's not a sound, that's not
right.
Even a sound way to do this.
Right.
So that's what you have facing.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what kind of resistance you're going to get if anything that happens here. On the recreational end, there may be some resistance, but I'm seeing a little bit more that there wants to be a return to higher values. I am seeing that kind of email traffic. On the commercial end, I don't know what kind of what there might be to ask on that book. But I mean, that shouldn't hold this committee back from coming to some modified consensus on moving forward, because we spent a lot of time on that stuff.
And it will go to public hearing, whatever we come up with before it's implemented, correct? Okay.
I think it's very simple to say what went on the last couple of years. Evidently, you had a very big year class move through. The recreational went through the roof in 2011. Those fish became available to the commercial in 13 and 14. That's when you see that spike. I mean, you know, and personally, I feel like you should manage stuff with some scientific facts, not just what individuals would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was here, I was on the fin fish, and I actually believe I was chairing it at the time that we passed the quota. We passed the quota with very little data, because we all know before 93, the data was worthless. I mean, you know, the part that amazed me, we knew 1 year was a terrible year of crabbing, and it was much worse than we thought when we actually got the data. When we started getting mandatory reporting, you know, I don't see after 20 years why we wasted that much time tracking a quota that wasn't even needed. You know, you wasted valuable your time, and it's only been approached once, really, when we had a huge year class move through. So all the rest of the time, we've been well under. It's been up, it's been down. The only place I could actually catch any speckled trout on the eastern shore, we made an agreement and done away with gillnet, and then three of the lower creeks in Chesapeake Bay. You can't gillnet there, which we didn't. It was some recreational people who put gillnets in there, but the commercial people didn't. On the 10,000 pound that you're talking about, it when we hit 80%, I'm 60 years old. If I lived to be 100, I couldn't catch that 10,000 pound. If I fished every single day, didn't miss a day, I couldn't catch that 10,000 pounds. I don't think the 100 pounds, I don't think I've ever caught 100 pounds in a year. I know I haven't. If it was 10 fish, I can only ever remember catching that one time. The numbers of people aren't there. The only people going to be harvesting these would be Virginia Beach or in the lower rivers. I don't think you have that many people involved in those areas. So, you know, we got a quota that's based on whatever information was available, and it's questionable. I really think, you know, after 20 years, I like to see the quota, even if it is questionable quota, being utilized. If you have a man down there that is in the fishery, I'm not. Nobody on the Eastern Shore is. That's the reason we had this meeting before. Chris took my place. I was going to let him do the same tonight, but I guess he's taking Spot's place. I don't see us having a problem if you go over 1 year, 10%, 20%, like Chris said. How about the 15 years that you were under 20%? You know, a lot of fisheries, you can carry overages and underages. You got to take the overages. But on the commercial sector, on us mostly, we have to pay for the overages, but we never get any credit for the underages. You know, we've been under all these years. You've been over 1 year. I think it's much to do about nothing.
Okay, Jerry, do you have any more information for us?
Just a little. The assessment model picks up on the landing. So when Rob mentioned, you know, that there might be an opportunity here in more recent years, and we see that spike, just as Ernie mentioned, there's a strong year class moving through. What the assessment is suggesting is that since about 2004, the past decade, biomass has been on an increasing trend with a really big spike in both North Carolina and Virginia in about 11 and 12. So it's come back down a little, but still very high, well above the target for biomass. So it's really showing this. It's the reason why these interactions are there, why the recreational guys hammered on those few years, why the commercial guys went over their quota. You know, the model is suggesting that means that the biomass is very high, that the fish were there.
Okay, are there any other questions for Joe from the committee before we bring something up? Anybody in the audience like to make a comment on this issue? All right. Anybody on the committee want to make a proposal? A motion? Please.
Make a motion on for commercial side, and somebody else can make a motion for recreational side to increase the quota by 10% to eliminate the bycatch terminology from the once you've reached your 80% trigger, and to go to 150 pounds instead of 100 pounds after the 80% trigger.
Do we have a second for that motion?
I second it.
All right, we have a second. Any comment on the motion? Okay, ready for the vote? All in favor, raise your right hand, please. Okay, opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion passes.
Now, can we do the recreational?
Would you please?
Okay, you gotta help me out here because I'm new at making motions. I want to make a motion to increase the current, where it says you can keep 5 fish to 7 fish for recreational anglers, and to be allowed to, out of the 7, 2, which are 24 inches or greater, to keep that. And just kind of, I don't know, parameter-wise, because I don't have any notes here, but where we were having the 10 fish before, just plug that in there. In that section of time. Do you have that?
I thought I had that.
Exactly. When we reduced from 10 to 5 originally with the cold sun, I want to insert the 7 and 2 there. I don't need to cause any ruffles to where everyone was, you know.
Just for that certain time period, though, not for the whole year.
You're just talking for the winter?
That's what I was thinking. The breeding time is our, isn't.
So you're suggesting, let me back where the 5 and 10 is.
Do you want 7 fish year-round, or you just want it?
I would like to hear input on that from everyone.
So here's the wording, or here's the season as it is. Well, as it is now, it's a 5 fish year-round with 1 fish greater than 24 inches. What was established in 2011 was that December 1 through March 31st, the 10 fish was reduced to 5. So you said help, so I'm going to try and help. I think what you're saying is that's not the period. You were looking for when there was 10, right, to go to 7. So that would be With that would be right from
is
April.
Is there any objection if we would do it 7 all the way across? Because someone had said originally.
Yeah, that's your motion.
It's your motion. If you want it all set
for everything.
Right. Up until 2011.
Okay. Okay, so let's do it year round. I just wanted to I just want to make sure I'm clear in the past here and not causing any. Okay. And then if something happens with the cold sun, we have to implement something that we're not in chaos like we were last year. Do you know what I mean? Like some type of implementation. I don't know if that needs to be addressed with this motion or not, but I does it?
We'll handle the chaos when it comes up.
We'll handle it when it comes up.
Yeah. Where about that when it happens?
Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. I didn't.
We would still, pardon me, I'm sorry, but we would still have to go. Unfortunately, we would still have to go through the chaos.
That's right.
It's a little less.
Okay.
We can get to the commission. Because we had to postpone for about 20-some days.
Okay.
And so, but I don't think we can avoid that.
In my 11 years here, many times we pointed out that North Carolina's DMF has proclamation authority, and the head there can just, within the turnaround of 24 hours, put out a new regulation, more or less. We don't have that ability, so.
Okay, well, we went from 10 fish to 5 because of the cold stun.
Yes.
We've recovered from that, apparently.
Yes.
You don't want to go back to 10. You just want to go to 7.
7 fish and then 2, which are allowed to be 24 inches or greater.
Year-round. Year-round.
Yes.
When it was
10
fish, was
okay.
One over
10. Any comment from the audience on that motion? Just so
I
want to get all the recreational input I can get. Pardon?
I apologize.
Can you put the motions up so you can look at them, make sure you look them before you go, so that when you go home tonight,
okay.
You don't have bad feelings.
If you guys want to see how I work.
That's right.
I always cheat. Copy and paste.
Any discussion from the committee on the motion?
Have you gotten a second?
Yeah, I've got a second. Ernie Bowden is the second.
Does anybody foresee any issue, I'm asking the committee, with, how it used to be the 5 and 1 in that one area that everyone had? Does anybody foresee any problems? Or?
I think you're going to have some people scream about that December 1 to March
31st. See, that's what I'm concerned about,
period,
too.
You're going to have some people.
And that's what I'm concerned about. I want this to pass.
I really, it doesn't matter.
So, Skip, if you're looking at this, would you plug it in just where we had the 10 fish before?
Personally, I think I would leave it the December 1 through March 31st at 5 fish, and the rest of the year go to 7 and 2. I don't think you'll have as much.
Where we reduced from 10 to 5 for the cold stun, plug in the 7 and 2.
Right.
See, that's what my gut's telling me, too.
Because the reason the December 31st through the March 31st, that was where everybody was going over there and killing all those fish in the hot ditch, and they were trying to.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's why I'm leaving. I'd rather talk about this now than have 80 people standing here with buses on the way. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, be real about it. So,
you'd like to amend your motion?
We haven't made the motion.
Over here for May's motion anyway, so it'll just be on the same
time.
Okay. So we're gonna plug that in. Let's do that.
Go back to where you were, Joe, or on the other page.
Yeah. Well, so we're still making the motion. We're creating the motion. I agree. I foresee people coming in and going about that one section. So just that section.
Is that what you're saying?
Where it originally had the 10 fish.
The section that covers the hot ditch with the 5.
Thank you, Scout.
So that'll stay.
You want to keep 5 fish here in the hot ditch?
Where we originally had the 5 fish, what he was saying.
The December 1st through March 31st.
Yes.
That stays at
5.
That's
primarily when they breed, too, isn't it?
I don't know, Lewis.
I don't know when they breed.
Okay.
They don't breed that time in the winter. It's too cold.
Yeah.
So I'm basically just asking where we originally had the 10 fish and reduced to 5 for the cold stun, that becomes 7 and 2 rather than 5 and 1.
So
shouldn't say 7 with bed instead of 7 in.
I wonder if everybody knows that the hot ditch ain't hot anymore.
That was what I heard. Yeah, it ain't hot there, but the damn fish are still there, though.
Fish are still there. Okay.
Okay.
Seven
fish with 24 inches or greater from April 1st through November 30th.
Okay.
That's it.
So then basically, we're just asking, when we made the motion to save the fish, we just need to kind of increase that a little bit since there's not really that much of an issue anymore. And then if someone wants to tweak that when it comes out, they'll come in and say that then.
Who's
right?
He been hearing squawking that wants to raise? Who's he been hearing squawking that wants to raise? Because nobody ever hears squawking on the peninsula about it.
What's that?
The raising the limits. Back limit.
So this is a change.
You heard it with like 50
yes,
years.
Yes, I went to a Virginia Beach community meeting and
December
1st. 40 people in the room were for it. And there was 40 people in the room.
Nobody was even from December 1st. There's no support over here. Nobody's squawking ass
right.
For it.
Well, we'll talk about that when it comes out. But, you know, if you're going to increase the commercial, I'd rather put that out there now.
So when you can catch five... It can be one side fish.
Right.
Okay, and then when it's seven, you can catch two side fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then be sitting here going, da da da, and then think.
I think it's in good shape. That's the way I am. But that way, you don't need to be like this. We need to work together. That's the way I am.
He's that's already passed. Okay. All right.
And that's, they need to come up and talk about it. Do you think that's a good way to go about it?
Okay, we have a motion. Any comment on the motion that's up for consideration for recreational? Is that now that it's been modified, are you still okay? All right, we're ready for a vote. All in favor of the motion, please raise your right hand. Thank you very much.
I'm going to try and make this quick. I know we have a lot on the agenda tonight.
We appreciate it.
But we wanted to give you an update where we are with striped bass. We have, as we've tried to update the committee all along, we've now gotten past the point where the implementation plans from the states were submitted, and we just had a review by the technical committee last Thursday and Friday up near Baltimore. I can say that most of the state plans passed the technical review. There were a few that were sent back for some revisions, and I'll go over that briefly. I'm going to keep this really quick on Virginia. So obviously the commercial quota items, those were pretty straightforward. The commercial bay was being reduced by 20.5% from the 2012 harvest. That passed. I mean, it's straight math. No complications here for the technical committee to harp on. And then also we took forward the option of just raising our recreational size limit in the bay up from 18, our minimum size limit from 18 inches up to 20 inches. We didn't do any other tweaks, any other changes or anything. Very straightforward. And it was also matched up with an option that already existed in the draft addendum that gained the 20.5% already. The only thing that came up from the technical committee on this, they wanted to make sure it met it, whether it was from the addendum calculation or from the 2012 harvest, and it still did. So that was their only thing. It took all of about 30 seconds to solve that problem for them. I'll say right up front, Virginia's review took probably the third shortest amount of time behind D.C. and PRC, and maybe tied New Hampshire with one option. They didn't spend much time on ours because our stuff's pretty straightforward, so it was kind of nice because we were there for 9 hours just reviewing plans. The trophy fishery option we talked about at the last FMAC meeting, where we're putting the proposal jointly with Maryland to raise our trophy size limit in the spring fishery from 32 inches up to 36 inches. That, again, TC had no issue with that at all. It represented a good reduction toward the coastal fishery, which was supposed to be a 25% reduction. They liked the fact that it was clearly more than a 25% reduction, and they had no issues with Virginia's proposal to raise that as well. They thought it met the intent of the addendum. And I'll just remind everybody through FMAC that, you know, when we talked to you before, you know, we're implementing this trophy permit this year and de-emphasizing the reporting standards for the charter fishery and the recreational fishery on the trophy fish. That could be done through the Saltwater Journal. We have paper forms, and there's also a charter boat online system for them to do their reporting. And they're actually supposed to report their striped bass year-round. So just reemphasizing that, again, we covered a lot of this last meeting. I'm going to hit briefly some of the other things that came up, just so you know where the other states are, but we're not going to linger on these, but just some of the fun that we had last week reviewing these. So Maryland, because you're going to hear about this with it being joint jurisdiction, Maryland came up with a couple options for their trophy fishery. Just as with ours, they had the 36-inch option, raising it up to 36 inches, but they also came up with a separate option that they're floating with ASMSC, even though they said their staff wasn't in favor of it. That is a 36-inch option, but allowing each one of their charter boats one fish per vessel, 28 to 36 inches, as a separate option. Technically, it did meet the TC's review, but even the TC had a lot of concerns about this option, and hopefully that is going to be conveyed to the board when they review these in February. For their bay fishery, they also went ahead and raised theirs up. The option is to go to 20-inch minimum size limit from the 18 inches. So that's good. PRC actually has already done it, pre-approved. So everyone's going to be in line with that 20-inch minimum size limit, it looks like. I'm not expecting any problems with the board. The one thing Maryland did there was they tried to throw an option in there, or actually did throw an option in there, to extend the end of their regular season from December 15th to December 20th. So you'll see over here on the side, you see this 3C3D thing. The TC's comment that was, based on their math, yeah, your math looks good, but it's a shot in the dark whether you're really gaining anything or not. And that will also be conveyed, hopefully, to the board. So it really means nothing unless the fish happen to be there in December for them to catch. But they did do that. Of course, they're trying to meet the constituent wishes up there. For their commercial fishery, you know, where ours went through at the reduction, straightforward reduction, they're doing the straightforward reduction. That's the first one, that's 4A option. But then they also, based on some comments from their industry, they looked at raising their commercial size limit up from 18 to 20 inches as the minimum size. Technically, it looked good on paper, but again, the technical committee was very adamant. What they felt was happening here was they were just going to be increasing discards by doing that. They're not doing anything but increasing the discard amount, and the TC wasn't in favor of that option, even though technically it did pass. And I think there will be comments to that coming to the board as well. Commercial fishery, our quota passed, no problem. We're doing the 25% reduction based on Amendment 6. All the options the FMAC put forward that we added to the implementation plan, we're currently at 28 inches in one for our current commercial, our current coastal recreational fishery, which started January 1st, ends March 31st. But you also proffered up ideas about B5, B7, and B8. You wanted to see the ability to consider a 33-inch minimum of two fish, and then these various slot trophy limits, the one fish 28 to 34, and one fish greater than 36 and the one 28 to 36 fish greater than 38. Those, because they were part of the original addendum and had already been approved by the TC, or once again approved last Thursday by the TC. The TC does have comments going to the board. They would like to see the more simplistic approaches, and they also would like to see regional approaches. Don't worry about this. Some of the things that they did review, I'll just say, were very, had a lot of variety that we saw last Thursday and were very creative. Some of the states got very creative in their calculations of how they looked at discards and how they used the ranges. They tried to use things like upper confidence limits to hit 30% reduction. That got thrown out. They tried to use a smaller discard percentage rate, which boosted up their savings. That got thrown out. Everyone's having to use the same discard rate. They're using the stock assessment. And all of their calculations have to have at least a 50% assurance of reading the minimum reductions. So we cleaned those up. They do, the TC does want to see regional similarity. Right now, Rhode Island and Connecticut are trying to come up with similar measures up there for their fishery. I already mentioned, you know, Maryland for their coastal recreational is looking at 28 and 1, Carolina 28 and 1, and they would like to at least see Virginia, Maryland, Carolina be more in line with each other coastally, since we have that one regional approach, especially when we're in the winter fishery. Again, Rhode Island and Connecticut are working on matching plans. Don't know if it'll happen, but they're trying to do that. Pennsylvania is trying to match value water body, whatever they have, with New York and New Jersey. Part of their waters correspond with New York rules. Part of their waters correspond with New Jersey rules. So they're trying to match those up so they have some flexibility to do that. New York probably had the most recreational options we had to go through. We had 20 options over three areas that we had to review for New York. That's quite a bit of time on that. They had some of the creative math. We pretty much cleaned it up, but almost all of their options really are tied back to that old B table and the addendum, things that we've already approved, the things that you worked options off of, the B5, the B7, the B8. They have a few other inland Hudson River options that they're putting up with a smaller size limit, but they're all with technically going to pass on that level. They're just having to clean up how they use the discard calculations to get them to be correct. That is a very short, quick update of this, but just to know, the next step is the board. That is will be in the first week of February, and at that meeting, that's when all these plans will be reviewed. Rob will have the pleasure of sitting through a shortened version of what I did last week and seeing what the board wants to adopt state by state. Or what they, you know, they may give the states the multiple options to go back and have their own public hearings. But that's coming in about 3.5 weeks, I think. So, any questions on this, where we are? This is just an update.
Joe, refresh my memory. I'm still new at this game. But once Virginia submits its plan to ASFMC and the technical review says, okay, this works, we'll... What's the next step?
That's what I'm saying. So the next step now is the technical committee is committing, is finishing its review. We sent a few plans back. We're getting them back this week to do a final review. The TC report now goes to the ASMC Strike Bass Management Board. They now have to approve the plans. Once they approve the plans, the state can officially act. So if they approve, let's say, our plan with the coastal options, the multiple coastal options, our plan would then be to come back before the commission for a public hearing in March to consider which one of those options we're going to choose for forevermore, from after March 31st. We're at 1 in 28 coastally right now. The multiple options will be considered for the March 16th and beyond coastal fishery. The quotas for the commercial fishery are pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of debate there, and we only had the one option, recreational bay, and that's to raise it up to 20 inch minimum.
So, ASFMC commission likely to approve in April?
No, they are taking these up in February. They will make their approvals in February. We will know the results, present those results to our commission.
So that the Virginia commission can vote?
Right.
Okay, I'm with you.
And we have our public hearing in March. We're going to have everything done before April, is our intent. That way we can move forward. and get away from this and talk about something else.
I appreciate the
talk about clowns.
Coaching.
Yeah. And unless there's anything else, that's all I have for you on Strike Bass.
Before we leave Strike Bass, a couple of things. One, I told you that we would get information out to the club. We'll still do that. The only thing left, really, is four options to the folks that want. And we will get information out and ask for information back. So we'll do that, but as Joe just mentioned, February is the approval time to come back to the commission. Really, we're coming back to the commission in February to do that.
We have
March.
We have to get March, and we have to get approved for advertising for a public hearing.
We could do that. We could do that. After this meeting. So, there are a couple strategies here I want to talk about. One is, what do we need to do by February? Would it help the coastal fishery if something was solid at the end of February as opposed to the end of March? Who fishes in the coast and who would know?
I don't think there's any fish there.
So that won't matter.
Am I right? On the coast, are there any rockfish after February?
No. And around Virginia Beach, there are. Sometimes it's seldom that we have them. And when we do have them home, they're like 10, 15, 20 miles offshore where you won't be fishing for them, or most people won't be fishing for them.
So, what I'm trying to make sure is when your turn comes, because you expressed the desire to have a turn at these four options.
If that fits in the schedule.
Early March.
Whatever the schedule requires, I guess.
Is that still something that the committee wants to do?
Yes. There are people who fish more than he and I do, or try to, would like to if they ever show up.
I'll give us time to get the clubs and then to come back and get your thoughts. So, yeah, I see the logic. The other thing about the coastal area is just keep in mind that this is a 3-year hitch, probably. So whatever happens in 3 years to get that fishing mortality rate to or below the target determines what ASMFC does next. So I hope whatever happens that these states who are now getting creative with their coastal options, that we don't end up in 3 years finding out, well, you know what? We've got another 3-year hitch. I mean, that's the concern we have. And there was a lot of talk about when this all started, the motion that came out to the coast was an option where they would have to have 32 inches or greater, one fish. And then there was some backsliding, and all of a sudden it ended up 128 or greater, one fish, plus this conservation equivalency, which Joe explained tonight, which we've explained before, meaning they can get creative as they want to be. The board does not generally go against the technical committee recommendations. If something is said to be technically then that's about it. I think that's what we see with these options, the way Joe described. We didn't go over all. There's a lot more creativity going on. And now that's it for Strike Bass. But I want to come back, if you don't mind, for 30 seconds to Spectre Trap.
If I may, Doug had a comment on striped bass, I think.
I got one too, Jim.
Okay, may we stay with striped bass for a minute?
Yes, saving the speckles for a minute, because we didn't finish everything.
Okay. Doug, you had...
Thank you, Jim. You know, I like what you explained to me, how you come to the 20% reduction with the Chesapeake Bay Recreation quota by moving from 1880 to 20 to be on your first slide. You presented that was a 20% reduction. How did the Texas Committee come to that conclusion?
I'll just keep it simple. I'll do it with the mic just so it's on the recording. So the reduction in all the recreational fisheries, whether it's coastal or in the bay itself, all of them are based, the initial ones are all based on MRF data. Looking at data for the last 3 years in the bay situation, we could actually look at data for the last 5 years to get a good length frequency to base the reduction on. It's based on numbers of fish that were recorded as caught through MRF. Fish actually measured, not fish that they assumed what the length was. These are actually real lengths that were measured by MRF staff and do it based on the reductions on that catch data. That's how this and the initial coastal options were all done. And then the creativity is coming in where some of the states are using some additional volunteer data, survey data of their own that they do independently of MRF and adding that in. But all of our reduction for us, Maryland, and then all the coastal reductions initially are based on MRF data and the true length that were measured by that service. That's how it's done most of the time. That's how it was done this time. So, I mean, that's what it is. It's not based off a quota. It's based off the actual lengths. We now do not have a recreational quota in the bay, which is something that's hard to grasp for a lot of people because they're so used to it, but we currently do not have a recreational quota in the bay. That was, as of this addendum, there is no recreational quota, only commercial quotas.
Okay. Well, actually, it's no credible because you can calculate it again.
We're not reducing from a quota, we're reducing from catch data. There is a difference here. There is no recreational quota anymore. They're not reducing by quota, so we don't have a quota to reduce from.
Commercial has a quota.
But they do, right.
Yeah. And the other question is, according to you, picking your head up there, the commercial quota for the Maryland is 1,400,000 pounds, and the commercial quota for Virginia is 1,000,000 pounds.
That's based on right, the reduction was based on 2012 harvest, and they harvested about one.
That's what the quota is coming up to be in 2015.
Right. The reduction is based, what the board adopted was a reduction based on what our 2012 harvest was by state. Maryland harvested much more than we did that year. We still did pretty good. We performed pretty well in 2012. But also, Maryland has a little bit more quota than we do. And so, right.
Almost 500,000 pounds.
Well,
do you think that's a quota? About analysis or agreement?
My opinion of the agreement doesn't matter at this point. I just have to make sure we adopt it in the court. Okay, that's a different argument. We agree with you. And Doug, we agree with you on that, and that is definitely a point of contention for our staff and their staff. And it's something that has been brought up. Rob actually stood before this committee before and explained to you how much he brought up to Maryland about the disparity and how that is allocated. So it's not like it's a topic we ignore. It's been brought up and brought up and brought up. But we're one of three entities in this equation. The other two aren't playing ball with us yet on this, about trying to talk about it. But, I mean, he's come up here and he told you about this. For I don't know how many meetings last year we talked about this. It doesn't go on deaf ears here. We would love to see more allocation in Virginia. There should be more allocation in Virginia. And Rob's pointed that out, standing here multiple times last year.
You might not have heard it.
Have you done anything to the Secretary of Natural Resources?
Well, I was just going to say, I have spent not only talking about it, I did two very detailed papers. That the last one was done right before all this mess started with the ASMSC, and unfortunately, Doug's right. This eventually is going to take more than even agency has to get a new frame, because we just talked tonight about speckled trout commercial quota, which was based on 1993 and 1994 data, bumped up 1% for a month. 1993, 1994. At the ASMSC, they're completely blasting every chance they get, mainly on summer flounder, because we got 1998 as a way of providing up recreational summer flounder quota. The baywide striped bass quota is based on 1994 data. Period. It's never changed. 1994. So what happened was, that was the time period where we were still held to four-day recreational season, Thursday through Sunday. And on the commercial fishery, we had bumped out from that little rut we've been in with the 211,000 pounds of quota, but we still were offset already. We were at a disadvantage already. Now, we were able to increase our recreational harvest because we increased the number of days to 105, then to 120. ASMSC did, here's what's going to kill you. ASMSC did raise our quotas in 1995 and finally in 1996, we're at 1.481 million pounds. Today, if we didn't have any quota whatsoever, even going into this mess, we would have about the same commercial quota that we had in 1996. We'd have the same recreational season. So for the last 18 years or 17 years until ASMFC built the baywide process now, we're really stuck on zero the way I look at it. I have been overloading this information to as high as I can go with it. It's going to take more than me. It's going to take more than John Bull. It is going to take a real scrutiny of the jurisdictions, because I've been out of shape about this for years, getting better out of shape now too. But you know, it's stupid. I mean, we should not be looking so far in the past. But the other thing that's stupid is to come for the Fisheries Commission. I'm sorry, as a recreational quota. Up until what Joe just mentioned, it is true, this addendum killed the baywide process. But before that, since 1997, the Potomac River Fisheries has a recreational quota. All they do is harvest fish in the Potomac. They land them in Virginia and Maryland. So they come off of our quota and Maryland's quota. And I've been trying to, you know, point this out to A.C. Carpenter in the past, and now Marty Gary, the director, and they will say, well, you know, yeah, I guess you're right. But that's it. I mean, what kind of a compatriotism is that, where, you know, I'm getting carried away. So it's your fault.
And we haven't had justice from get go.
Well, I was
in and then doing that in the state agency. The Secretary of Natural Resources and the governor, you got to sign them in with them. Now, you told me what the four of you waiting for them to ask you. Well, they got other things.
I want to end this story by saying we don't have a big white quota, so now may be the opportunity to push a little harder. And I will still talk. John Bowles is very aware of everything that's been done. As soon as the ASMSC starts to put down the hammer a little bit, though, you know, we didn't have much they do and what they're able to do. But we don't have the firepower that Maryland has. They have six people working on problems that maybe we have one person working on. They work on crabs, they work on striped bass. They usually solve a problem and get something going, and then they invite us to dinner after they already have the solution. That's the way it goes. We've been with this for years. So, you know, it is tough, and I'm sorry that I don't have better happy ending for you. Because we sure need one.
Okay. All right, Robert, you have some comments?
Yeah, this spring trophy permit, has that passed yet, or is that still in the making?
That's it. That's passed.
Well, how do you go about getting it, and what's it cost?
Nothing. You get it online. You can get it
from us. Is it DGIF, or can you get it off of your website?
Our website. Okay.
Okay.
I want to make sure you're not disappointed. Okay. First thing to tell you was what you did with speckled trout. You know, you may not stop to realize. You may go home and you may say, "What the heck is staff? The commission is staff. We're going to support what you did tonight." I think you should know that. And when you go through this process, you should always ask. They do it on the crab committee. Are you going to support this or not? And 95% of the time, we've had to say, no, we're not going to support that. Well, Marshall, I can tell you we're going to support that. I think the way you handled that after all this turmoil is very good. But keep in mind, the tentative agenda just went in. So I want to make sure, just like I was with Striped Bass, it would be March before the public hearing, the way things stand right now. How does that sit with them? Thanks.
Robert?
You mentioned 20% a couple of times. We only put in for 10%. Would staff go for the 20?
No.
I think it was a slip.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next topic, please.
All
right.
Jeff, we got to leave. We got bad weather there. All
right. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
See you, JC.
Someone's up here.
I was going to try to talk.
And we're on Gilnets, right?
I don't have a lot to present. Fortunately, Ernie's here again this month, but this was started from something that he asked at the last meeting about looking at the limited entry criteria. So I'll let him speak to that. I just, from staff's point of view, Robert said that we'd bring up the history of it. So the one slide that you have in front of you is condensed the two different motions that the commission put in place, both that came through FMAC, to establish limited entry criteria. The first happened in 2000. It was before 2009. But and then the most recent, the second point down here, is the additional criteria that was put in place in 2013 for further limited entry. So those are. The two things that got us to where we are today. I'll go back to this, so where we are right now with that criteria is we're down to 82 individuals that have limited entry permits or are able to participate in the fishery. We are at a 5.3 million pound quota, 5,000 pound trip limit. We have weekly buyer reporting for this species. There's no agenting, and the only way that a transfer can occur at this point in time is through a hardship that has to be put forward to the commissioner, and he's looking at medical or military exceptions or exemptions. And if there's a death in the family, that permit is moved down to someone within the family.
Is that it?
Well, again, I mean, I do have some more information on, you know, on the performance of the fishery, but I, just going back to, again, this was something that Ernie brought up.
Can you put the performance data up, please?
Yeah. A little bit of a game changer for us. You'll see we're down around zero in a few of the seasons for this species. At that point in time, we were in a regional management. So New Jersey could, in fact, close out the entire quota before the fish ever showed up into Virginia. It wasn't until where you see the red line where a state quota was established, and at that time it was all the way down there. Just above 2 million pounds. And there was there was one season where very quickly we went past that quota. But since then, the quota has been increasing. It's scheduled to continue to do that, at least for the 2015-2016. It was announced that the quota would be even higher than it is this year. So it's as of the last ASMFC announcement, it would be at nearly 5.5 million pounds for the 2015-2016 season.
So the issue before us is limiting participation, is that correct?
Right. I'll start a little discussion, but really I think it's something that Spot needs to be here for because he's probably the biggest buyer in the state. You know, it's several problems. When we adopted a lot of this stuff, we thought the quota is already hit the plateau and it was going to start going down. And I can't see it going down for a very long time. The biomass is the largest it has ever been. And the sad thing is, they eat everything except whales, and they may eat them because they're hanging around the whales now. But, you know, it's just so hard on other game fish. I don't see how they'll ever bring codfish back in the Northeast. They really love suffer flounder. I mean, I've caught rock that big, and when they get done with them, you couldn't feed a cat. You couldn't feed a kitten. I mean, I've never seen anything demolish anything. The only thing you have is the head, the very end of the tail, and just the backbone. They've already ate all the ribs and the top bones and stuff, just the backbone. And I'm talking about a 30-pound fish. I think what Scott and I were both concerned with at first, and maybe things is changing from Rob's discussion earlier today, you know, there's movement afoot last year to do away with the landing limit by some states. If they'd done away with the landing limit, Virginia's out of the fishery. You know, because you could have trawlers coming in. It would be profitable for them. It would be profitable for them at 10 cent, 15 cent, whatever the price is, most especially in the Northeast, where they could deliver them fresh to the market. So I don't think you would have market down here. And that was both of our major concerns at the time. You know, but eventually they just bumped it from 4,000 to 5,000, which has worked very good for a lot of people. I don't really don't want that many because it's more than I can put on one truck. I think we could probably let some people in. I really feel that way. And, you know, this is not something we need to do today because it's really not going to do anything. If we did it today, you'd have to ask for an emergency. And this is something that needs to play out for next season so we'd have it in hand. I think, you know, if you're worried about too many people getting in it, being too overcapitalized, you can always go put a control date on it. If that becomes a problem, the last one's in, the first one's out. Well, it's just like a union job, I guess. But, you know, I just think we need to start a discussion. It's been several people's came here over the years that I think have legitimate claim to be in the fishery. They are fishermen. They, at one time, probably did participate. They just didn't participate in that little narrow window. You know, just for me, for example, I did quite a bit of it before that period. I barely made it in that narrow window. There's people that I know that caught way more than I did
that were outside of that window, 10 times as much as I did outside of that window. And because they weren't in that window, which happened to be a very good call time, they were doing very good. And a lot of the people do both. A lot of your spotted dog fishermen are call fishermen. And at first, I think we needed to start a dialogue, work on it. You know, when we did this stuff and we tweaked it the last time, we were under an impression, and but the quota was gone down. Was it going to be an extra $56 million or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were thinking 40 was the tops, and it was going to start. I mean, and with the stuff that Joe presented that they gave him, it showed it was just going to go up very little for a couple of years and then start down. You know, but not harvesting the fish. The buy stock bass is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So,
if there's one more thing, I would, as Ernie pointed out, there are quite a few people that had been cut out of the fishery that had participated. So twofold, I think it's important for me to bring up again that when we got to this very limited second criteria, it was only the previous two seasons, if they had harvested in the previous two seasons. What we had found was there were over 100 individuals who qualified for the permit. Many of them never even bothered to pick that permit up within the time that the limited entry fishery was created. You had an individual come here in front of FMAC and say that he would be happy to transfer into the fishery if transfers were allowed. There was a concern by both, you know, by this advisory committee and staff that then if transfers were allowed, you would turn, you know, 30, 40, 50 inactive permits into active permits. So one thing that the most recent limited entry or that additional criteria did was get rid of a lot of people that had never fished. All you needed was 1 pound of harvest within those two seasons. The problem with the two seasons, and we had one individual who was going to try very hard to get here today who fishes on the Eastern Shore, and as Ernie, you know, touched on, those two seasons, there was a very poor market. You know, there were other things. You know, you're talking about 12 cents a pound to go out, you know, and try and catch 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of fish to come back and sell them at 12 cents a pound when oystering was doing much better, conching was doing much better. So there were individuals that had considerable history in this fishery that just didn't have any fish in this.
Okay, so any comment from the committee?
Chris? Well, I just wanted me to ask that you hold off on doing anything, you know, for at least 1 month, if not until he gets back, and also until the European Union, that speculation on price, that may affect price. You know, there's a number of things at play. We just wanted to reiterate that, and although the discussion is productive and good, keeps people up on what's going on, but if we could just, you know, at this time not make any decisions or move anything forward.
Rob?
My perception of this process is that it was well-intentioned to have the industry involved and really taking the lead. I remember sitting listening to the comments, though. There were certainly reservations about this person and that person not being able to be part of it, everything else to get up to 170. There were a couple things that could go forward. One is letting more people in, regardless of how many that is, it should be based on some criteria. In other words, Ernie's suggestion, or Ernie's contention that 2010-12, that window was not their window, so we have to look at the harvest of their history. We've got to look at all their history and make something out of that. We could do that. We're still doing patchwork, though. A real way to do this, because there's a lot of people, not a lot of people, I'm sorry, but I've heard from the committee before and from others that this is really intended for about 30 to 40 individuals. And even today, this fishery would be a benefit if it were limited. We obviously haven't done the right limiting the way we've done it. It's possible we need to start again. Okay. We may need to start again on this approach.
Well, things have changed, certainly.
We may need to relook at this, and you know,
they'll not do anything in the meantime, because as you can mention, there can be changes in foot from the PCB angle, changes from the Prophet 3 processors on what they'll do in Massachusetts, changes in last year, the reason that Scott McDonald was okay with 5,000 was because oystering was keeping some folks from the price the way the dogfish were from working there. And that seems to have smoothed over. So things are changing. I mean, I really think the original criteria were not the best, perhaps. Should we start looking at this again? I mean, we're not going to break anything. None of us are going to break anything with the 82 we have now. There's going to be, by May 1, there's a desire for a few individuals to participate. Probably not going to break anything either, but I hope there's some criteria that sets those individuals apart from some of the other 25 that went by the wayside. So, I think it's time to start looking at this freshly, rather than keep on patchwork. I don't know what everyone else thinks about that.
Well, if we were to do something today, if we were to let some of these guys who have been out of it take some of the inactive licenses, that we wouldn't get anything done before the dogfish are out of here this year, would we? So the delaying it's not going to help or hurt them.
The reason I brought it up, I think we got enough time. We do something in a rush, we get some things wrong. We get a lot of it right, but you do get some things wrong. A man was here last month and arrested in the permit. There's nothing we can do. The commission would have to do an emergency regulation. I don't see how they could consider it an emergency. So, you're looking at March. If we did do something tonight, you'd be looking at least March. Well, the fishery's over in April. So you're really not, I'd rather get it right. We went from 8 or 10 people at home to 2.5. I go about half as much as it. I about 1-2 days a week, and I'm getting ready to go to Florida for the winter. But I hate to see in the future that our quota goes somewhere else, and it's always a possibility of Atlantic States Marine Fisheries. I like to see us, utilizing it or close to utilizing it. I just don't see that happening. The only way I think it would happen is if we had a drastic decline in oysters, and I certainly hope we don't have that, because we've turned a corner and we are going up. So I believe we could let some people in. I have no problem with that.
Okay, we have one member in the audience who'd like.
I think the reason a lot of people are not doing it now is based on price. Yeah. I mean, you've got people that are oystering. I think you need to keep it status quo for quite a long time, let people that are actually doing it today continue it, make a living at it. Okay. People jump in it, more boats, there's not that many processors, and we're going to be cut back to 2 or 3 days a week. You need to stay status quo now. So we get down to 35 or 40 boats that I thought staff wanted. Letting people in is not the right thing at this point.
All right, Rob, is it okay if we put this off for an indefinite period?
I think we're fine. I think we're going to need to talk about it again in probably when we get together over the strike pass situation for the coastal recreational. We can possibly see what we can do. Really what we have facing us now is headed towards February, it's becoming crab time for staff. A lot of work's going to be done on blue crab, as it always is. But I think we'll just try and look at this and see if there are other things to think about here.
Okay.
But, we'll look A, we'll look at if it wasn't the 2010 to 2012, if that wasn't the eliminating factor, some of those people that says, you know what, that was just a time when they weren't active, but they sure are active all the time. I mean, we'll try and look at that.
We showed, you know, the number of trips taken by each individual overseas. Did they only do one or two each year? Did they do 10 or more? And harvest. Did they do at least 10,000 pounds in a season or more? You know, we've presented all that before, and we can bring all that back.
So we need to see how the market shakes out, whether we're going to be allowed in England for sure, and then decide how we're going
to
handle it.
That's a big question. I mean, I don't know, because in my mind, if you want to limit the entry, then you pursue it, and at certain times the conditions are going to say, you're glad you have the limited entry, and some other times you're going to say, you know, why that happened. I'm facing this with Southern Flounder. We've got a control date now for the Midland Council, but there's overcapacity there, and there's all sorts of things going on there. And the original 1995 limited entry really. 20 years like that, and a lot of us wish we had limited even differently in that fishery. So that's going to cause some problems that definitely will be coming to your committee to hear about in the very near future as we go forward with this amendment for Southern Flounder. So I think we'll go forward with thinking about a better limited entry system. It doesn't have to be immediate. There are a lot of reasons why overall the 82 are doing fine. They're not all in the fishery, obviously, but the process is doing okay. But it's really not truly, when we look back, or when you look back at what's happened and look at all the facts, probably a better system would have been available. Then if you live through the torture of strike bass limited entry, you'll know that that went on for 7 years to get to the system. And there were people left out in the cold by that process that probably shouldn't have.
So we'll bring this up at another meeting. Okay, thank you.
I think we need to see how things shake out, because this is the first I've heard some of the stuff Rob was saying tonight on the market and different things. Then we can, like I said, we have plenty of time. There's no need in doing anything before November. If we do anything or we don't do anything, we have till November to decide.
Well, I just want to make sure that everybody that we get our quota and that we get it with as many commercial fishermen getting a reasonable share of it as possible.
And we have so many people. I'll give you a good example. My son, he has a permit. Never spotted always in his life except with me. But, I mean, he made the criteria because he fished with me and he had to land it.
All right.
I mean, and when we report on his permit, we don't report on mine. So it's the same fish.
Okay.
So that ends up with two permits. A lot of people have permits in their wives' thing. There were some individuals reaching shore that I didn't even know who they were. They were on active duty in Iraq. That's the reason I didn't know who they were. I mean, there was a lot of that type of stuff. We don't know who these people are. And I knew my area. Scott knew his area. Other people do different areas that, you knew how the thing's shaking out. That's the reason the number of permits is so high. They're not participants. They're just number of permits. Just like, I'm going to come across with two more permits. Now, I probably have, I don't know, harvest 100,000 pounds this year, close to, I don't know what I've harvested, 70,000, 80,000 pounds at least, and I haven't been gone very much, and I will harvest over 100 when I get back from Florida. But, it's going to look like my son done quite a bit of that, because he goes with me on the weekends and, different times, so it looks like it's more people than Liz, and you also got to consider, too, when you're talking about the 40 participants years ago, it was unlimited landings. It wasn't, 4,000. It wasn't 5,000. It was unlimited. You had people from the Northeast working out of Ocean City, fishing 240, 250 nets, some of them more than that. They go out to the low, their 40-some foot boat, and they come in with, 20, 30,000 pound on it. Then they go right back out and do it again. So, the number of participants can fool you.
All right. Considering the pending weather, the other two topics that we have, recreational gill nets and Tilefish, thank you. Can either of those be put off, or should we?
I think Tilefish is a good one to put off because I think there's some activities going on through the Mid-Atlantic Council.
Okay.
And the recreational gill net, I think we can put that off, but we ought to at least let you have the email.
Yeah,
you can take that with you, and so when we get back together, it'll make a little more sense what Mr. Lumsden is asking about. And the overall situation is when you read that email, you have it with you.
Yeah, and I think that you all received it in the email chain, but I did print it out.
So I think the only question is staff has, once you look at everything that you can see, what Mr. Lumsden is asking, is it really something that
all right, and Joe, do you want to give us a real quick synopsis of what the tilefish issue is? And
I can't really quick.
Something for us to think about.
Yeah, just really quick on that. Many of you will remember that we implemented tilefish grouper regulations in 2007. We've made some modifications since. We did that at a time we had deck loading going on with recreational boats. And what we did, we implemented a 7 tilefish possession limit recreationally, and we have a poundage limit monthly. And the key thing here is the recreational right now. So 7 tilefish, golden, blue line could be in there. Right now, in our region, Mid-Atlantic and North, there are some proposals on tilefish where they regulate golden tilefish to go from, let's say, having 8 golden tilefish per person possession limit, or even have a multiple overnight type of trip with multiple possession limits in one trip. This is a bit of concern, as if you'll remember from all the tilefish things that we covered, and Dr. Ken Neal was a big advocate of this as well, tilefish are long-lived. They are slow maturing. It's very easy to fish these down. The South Atlantic has proven this time and time again. In fact, at a point now that they have an amendment in their books for their waters, Amendment 32, that they're reviewing, that may get it down to 1 tilefish per person. It's that bad. They did some,
actually, they're trying to get a 1 per boat.
One per boat. Yeah, thank you, Skip. So they did. They almost went pretty tight a few years ago. They worked out in council not to be too harsh on them. You know, we can do this. We can keep it down. And they overfished 3 times over. And as many of you know, we're primarily a blue line tilefish harvest here. We get some goldens. We get a lot of blue lines. So us in Maryland have a fairly good conservative measure on tilefish fisheries. Ours match up, but nothing north of Maryland exists. And here they're talking about these large possession limits. Just in goldens, up on blue lines, they have no possession limit, and some of those boats do make it down to the canyons off of our waters and unlimited harvest and go back to their state. So that's a big concern for us. That's just a synopsis of what we're looking at. You know, we have a very special fishery, one that is very protective. It's a trophy fishery. It's very well known all over. It's brought a lot of dollars into the community, recreational, especially in that industry. We want to maintain the conservation of that. So we're watching what the Mid-Atlantic is doing with the golden tilefish. We'd like to see possession limits up and down the coast that are as conservative as ours. I know that has been brought up at the Mid-Atlantic. At the same time, we're watching the South Atlantic, who is our poster child of what not to do, and we don't want to be in that boat in the future and be down to 1 fish per vessel. So we're in the middle of this. We're kind of leading the charge of conservation while having a very successful trophy fishery. Don't know where it's going to end up. At next Mid-Atlantic Council, I haven't seen the agenda. Jeff and Rob would know more if tilefish is on that agenda or not. I would assume it is after the white paper they received at their last meeting. But we're going to see what the Mid-Atlantic is proposing and then watch what the South Atlantic is doing with Amendment 32 and then bring that information back to FBAC to see if we need to make any adjustments or not. Hopefully not. We're trying to be conservative about this fishery. It is such a good fishery to have, and we don't want to see anything happen to it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's about as quick a synopsis I can give on it. It's a complicated issue.
That's perfect.
It always has been, it always will be.
No doubt. So. All right. Any new business to come before the committee? Could we have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second. Thank you, everybody. Please drive safely.
Did you have to write down exactly what the wording is for that trial?
We have seatbacks.